This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs. Welcome to LabCast. I'm your host, Corey, and today we'll be wrapping up our conversation with Joe Polizzi, content marketing expert and founder of Junta 42 in the Content Marketing Institute.
Thanks for having me, Corey.
During our last podcast, we talked a little bit about blogs and how it's a great place to interact with your consumer. But what we didn't touch on was blogging etiquette and how we should be behaving once we're there.
So I think when you're talking about blogs, there's two things, right? There's the creation of blogs, and then there's commenting on other blogs. And we can probably talk a little bit about both if you want. So the anatomy of a blog, the first thing is you don't want to be promotional. Like, we're not selling anything here, which I think is the first thing we have to get over. Most of us, most of the information that actually comes out of a company is about us. It's about our products, about our services, and how fantastic they are. But what we have to realize is our customers don't care anything about us. They don't care. They care about themselves. So we have to blog about things that our customers care about. So that's one. Two, we've got to make sure we tell a story. This isn't something where, I mean, I know you get a lot of that robotic search engine optimization stuff, but a blog, you want it to be engaging. You want people to actually care about what you're saying and something that's interesting to them. So do that. So and how do you do that? Make sure that it's, and this is not long-form content. This is not 1,000 words, 2,000 words. It's probably 250 to 500 words. It probably has bullets in it. It has lots of headlines. It probably has a picture. It probably has a number in the headline because people love to click on things like 5 things to, or 7 ways to, or 10 points, or the top 20. Those things get clicked on more than anything else. As much as I hate to say it, that's effective. Right. If people are going to engage on that, go and do that. So just, if you're going to blog, you want to make sure that you're actually solving a problem, that it is really informative content. The other thing you've got to remember is make sure that when whatever you're doing as part of your blog strategy, you come at it from a human being standpoint, because this is a human talking to human. The great thing about a blog is you can be a little bit informal. You can be the person because you have a name, you have a picture usually that goes along with your blog. So be a human being. You don't have to be so formal. So be a little bit informal. And the last point is make sure you're consistent. If you aren't consistent with your blog, creating a blog is a promise to your customers. It's like a content promise. So if you blog once, twice, three times, and then you don't blog for a while, it actually will hurt you more than help. If you can't be consistent about it, don't do it. Do you want to talk about commenting a little bit then?
Yeah, I think that would be really beneficial. When you read blogs, it's inevitable that you're going to see people using a full email signature or linking back to their own content while on somebody else's page. And I wanted to know what you thought about that.
So it should be the same take as comments as when you think about a blog. It's the ultimate anti-sell. You're not selling. You're selling by not selling. Same thing as in your comments. How do you sell through a comment? Well, you add to the conversation. It's really helpful. It's some kind of an insight. There's a curious question. All those things are fantastic. If you're pitching a product or you're putting a link to something just to use it as link bait or anything like that, don't do it. I mean, because it's basically that spam. It's just the same thing as if you're taking your email list and you're just going to send out promotion after promotion after promotion. In this case, if you want to be thought as the thought leader in your community, anytime you start pitching in that format, you lose all your credibility. So it goes with creating original blog posts, and it goes with commenting as well.
And we discussed offline earlier, too, that when you're logging into these sites to post a comment, typically they're capturing your basic information anyway. So should someone on that blog want to reach out to you about your expertise or knowledge, they do have that ability without you being over the top with it.
I think the days of the signature line with here's me, my title, my company, and here's 5 links, those are over. And I mean, I've been blogging for 4 years now, and if I get those, I automatically delete them. And I would imagine, and so another thing to consider, I delete those types of promotional comments, and I also delete people that don't use their name. People that use search engine marketing Minneapolis. Gone, right? We don't want any of those people because we're humans here. So we want to act like humans.
Thanks. Those are really good tips. The next topic we wanted to touch on was the 2 or 3 steps that marketers could take to get started. before you start a content marketing initiative, it can seem like this big looming undertaking. And we wanted to know if you could help us to break it down a little bit.
So if you're not used to creating marketing material this way, it does take some adjustment too, because you're saying, instead of creating all this interruptive type marketing where you're talking about ads or sponsorships or wherever your logo or wherever your press release is going to be, you're creating content that you're going to earn attention, earned media, that's going to be so good that people want to pay attention to you. Oh, how do you do that? Well, you have to create really good stuff, because you're competing with not only everyone in your industry that's trying to do the same thing, you're competing with all the other messages that your customers are bombarded with, and people go into Google and YouTube and everything else, and all the other traditional media. So it's not easy to do this, and it takes some time. So the first thing you have to do is sit down and you have to figure out who are you targeting? What's your, if you call it a buyer persona, who is that person that you're talking to? Once you figure out, okay, that's my buyer, that's the decision maker that I'm trying to influence in some way, you have to figure out what their informational needs are. What's the pain points? I always like to say, what's the stuff that's keeping them up at night? They're laying in bed with their eyes open, they can't go to sleep. That's the information that you want to create that's going to solve their problems and ultimately position you as the trusted expert in your industry. So how do you find that out? I mean, you could use things like Google Alerts and search.twitter.com, and you could talk to your salespeople. They talk to customers all the time, right? You could do online surveys. There's all kinds of things that don't cost a heck of a lot of money that you can do to get a really good picture about who your buyer persona is. So you know that Eddie is 44 years old, likes to play golf on the weekends, and really is challenged by this, 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 and this. So you're building out your editorial calendar from that standpoint. So that's sort of step one. What are those informational needs? At the same time, you have to be real specific about what you're trying to do. We're not just creating content because we're going to send out all these warm and fuzzies, right? We're creating content because ultimately we need to sell more. Right. This is marketing. So what are we trying to do? Is this content program that you're creating, is this lead generation? Is it retention? Is it over brand awareness? Are you trying to get more people to talk with social media? Are you trying to get more mentions in the press, which you could use content marketing for actually traditional PR type stuff? Whatever it is, figure that out. Figure out how you're going to measure it. And the intersection between the informational needs of your customers that you already hopefully know and your marketing objectives, that's what we call that secret content marketing sauce, right? That's the secret sauce in the Big Mac that we want to know what it is, but we don't really know. That's where all the magic happens. Once you have that, that's sort of the basis for your whole content strategy. And then once you know that, then you can figure out. We haven't even talked about tactics yet, right? We don't know if we're going to do a blog or a white paper or a webinar or ebook. We don't know yet because we haven't figured out what the informational needs are and what we're trying to do. Once we figure that out, then you go into your tactics. Then you can figure out, here's the tactics we're doing, here's when we're going to do them, and here's how we're going to resource it.
Thanks, Joe. This has been really great, and I think that our listeners will find this very helpful. We really appreciate it.
Thanks. I really appreciate doing these.